ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Through the bumps into this bottom air.
Anthony, come up the bottom air.
Big backflip with the mid grab, stomps the landing. Putting on an absolute show out here, Jakara Anthony.
That's flag bearer Jakara Anthony winning the last World Cup event before these Olympic Games. She's the reigning Olympic champion in moguls. She's in form, but can she go back to back? Anthony is just one of many medal chances this Games for Australia. Can Scotty James cement his legacy with a gold medal? What about 16-year-old Indra Brown on her Olympic debut? This could be the best performing Australian Winter Olympic team on record, but can they live up to the hype? I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. Simon Smale is in Milan for the ABC covering the Winter Olympics. And Simon, we're speaking before the opening ceremony and hope springs eternal for our athletes. This Games sees the second biggest Aussie team to ever attend a Winter Olympics, and among them are some genuine medal chances. But before we talk about any actual sport, can you give us a vibe check? What is the mood like in Milano Cortina at the moment?
Do you know what, Poppy? It has built over the week that we've been here, partially because it was actually sunny today and hasn't been drizzling and raining. We've managed to head into the main tourist centres of Milan yesterday and it was really, really buzzing. There were so many different accents, so many different languages. From what I hear about all the other hubs, because this is the most spread out Winter Olympic Games in history, it's exactly the same there and everyone is really, really excited and looking forward to getting things moving.
Okay, so let's talk medal chances for Australia. And I want to start with our flag bearers, Jakara Anthony and Matt Graham. Moguls represent. Jakara is the reigning Olympic champion. Graham is no stranger to the podium at this level. Are we going to see more mogul glory in Milan?
I have said a couple of times to anyone who will listen to me, actually, that Jakara Anthony is Australia's most in-form and dominant athlete, full stop. I don't mean winter athlete, I don't mean skier, I don't mean mogul skier, I mean athlete. When she's at her best, she's absolutely untouchable. Her record over the past couple of years, especially this Olympiad, has just been absolutely remarkable. She did miss the 2024-25 season with a broken collarbone. I thought that was going to slow her up, and I guess it did to a point, but she's still won 3 World Cup events this season. She's still the overall leader in the World Cup standings. She's won 26 World Cups. She had one of the greatest seasons of all time in 2023-24 of any sport. She was 15 starts, 14 wins and a bronze. I think she's an absolute golden chance of winning a gold medal, or in fact, 2 gold medals, because for the first time at these Games, we've got dual moguls. She could legitimately come away with 2 gold medals from this Games, and that would make her Australia's most successful ever Winter Olympian.
We've talked about Indra Brown on this podcast previously, Simon, but for those who don't know the now 16-year-old, can you give us a quick rundown of her credentials and why she's a medal chance in Milan?
Indra Brown is an absolute remarkable young girl, and she is still a young girl. She's 16 years old now, but she was 15 when she won her first ever World Cup medal, which also happened to be her first ever start.
It's a huge amplitude on the first 900. Steps up with the 7 into the switch, right side 5, losing a little bit of amplitude there, but keeps it going nicely. The switch left 3 with that mute grab and 1. Final hit goes alley-oop to finish.
She was still 15 when she got a silver medal in her next World Cup start, only her second on the senior tour. And she was still 15, got her first gold medal in what was just her third ever start. It's just incredible. She's from Melbourne. She started skiing in Australia on Hotham. She's got really, really stiff competition. The two women who beat her on her first ever appearance in a World Cup podium with a reigning Olympic champion and the reigning world champion. So, look, certainly shouldn't be beneath her to get a medal, or beyond her, sorry, to get a medal. And I think she's a fantastic chance.
We know she's good first up. So from 16-year-old Olympic debuts to Scotty James, this is his 5th Olympic Games. He's medalled twice at the Olympics, but is missing one colour to complete the set. Is this the year that Scotty James wins an Olympic gold medal?
It would be the crowning glory on what has already been a superb career. I think all the indications are that he is going to do it. And the reason I say that, is because of what he did at the X Games a couple of weeks ago.
What about a switch? Backside 1440 and then a back. Backside 1440. Hang on, Scott. Oh! Hang on. Hang on. Never ever. Never ever has that been done.
What he did, and it was the first time this has ever been seen in a half pipe, is a switch backside 1440 into a backside 1440. It earned him his 8th super pipe title, which is equal with the great Shaun White, who probably is the only snowboard athlete who legitimately stands above him in the list of all-time greats. Yet, Scotty James will say that he's not the all-time great or in that conversation until he gets an Olympic gold medal. It's so difficult with judged sports. You know, you can get a group of judges that really love what he brings to the party on the half pipe, or you can get a group of judges who might not quite be swayed. I think that was the case in Beijing 4 years ago. They just weren't quite swayed with his technical brilliance as opposed to his eye-catching, spectacular brilliance of Ayuno Hirano, who actually won the gold medal. But I think he's not quite got it in the bag. I think it's his to lose this time around.
Australia's had a strong history in aerial skiing in the past. You only have to look at the team's chef de mission, Alyssa Campbell, and her medals to see that. There is an injury cloud over Laura Peel. She chases her first Olympic medal, but she's not the only hope for Australia in this event. Who are we looking out for?
No, you're absolutely right. And first things first, Laura Peel is, without question, when she gets it right, the best aerial skier in the world. Aerials is really interesting. Essentially, you're looking at doing spinning backward somersaults. Now, to be good at doing one of those, you do one. To be world level, you have to do two. To be exceptional, you have to do three. And Laura Peel has been a trailblazer for doing triple back somersaults. Problem is, this year she hasn't been getting it right. She hasn't been landing her jumps. And I don't know if that's what happened in Switzerland at the training camp, but it has resulted in a knee injury. How much of an impact that plays, we just don't know. But you're right, she's not the only chance that we have in aerial skiing. Danielle Scott is one of the most consistent athletes that you're ever going to see. And more importantly, she gets results in big competition. She's a four-time medalist at world championship level. It's that consistency that I think is going to really, really help her. Now, if she wasn't doing triples, that could count against her if the conditions are right for the girls to be doing triples. They're not always right. If there's a bit of wind, triples can be too risky. If it comes down to a doubles face-off, essentially, then I think Danielle Scott is an absolute chance of getting a medal.
Off the snow and onto the ice for a second, and Bree Walker is a red-hot chance to take home a medal in the monobob. What do we need to know about the slider?
So Bree Walker has had a fantastic season this year. She's won 3 World Cup events. Former hurdler. This is quite common in bobsleigh athletes, particularly from areas outside of the sport's heartland, so Germany, Austria. In the monobob is where she really excels. She got 5th in Beijing 4 years ago, and that was because she made a mistake. She made a mistake in one of the 4 runs, and that cost her a heap of time, which she almost made up to get onto the podium and just couldn't do it. She's a brilliant chance. The way that she's competed this year, the way she's grown as an athlete and scoring victories in tracks that wouldn't necessarily have suited her. All the tracks are so different. Some of them are really dependent on having a good start. She always gets a good start. And some of them are really dependent on driver skill.
Simon, the Winter Olympics always throws up something weird and wonderful, and this story fits both of those categories, I think. Two things you don't always hear in the same sentence is penis enlargement and doping scandal. Why are these two things making headlines in Milan?
Yeah, it's not something I thought I'd be talking about either. Earlier today, I went to the World Anti-Doping Agency press conference.
There have been reports that ski jumpers are now thinking about enlarging their genital areas by injecting hyaluronic acid.
Any takers for that?
If anything was to come to the surface, we would look at anything if, you know, it is actually doping related. We don't do other. Our list committee would certainly look into whether this would fall in this category.
What on earth does this have to do with performance enhancing in a sporting term, I hear you ask? Well, Ski jumping is a very precise sport when it comes to the amount you're allowed to wear in terms of your costume and your suit. Because if you can imagine, as you're jumping off the side of a mountain, we've all seen those daredevils jump out of aeroplanes with wingsuits on, and they essentially just soar off to greater distances. Well, that's exactly the same thing if your suit is too big. The way that they measure how large your suit is able to be, when you do a stride, measurement that you're allowed, of the maximum allowed, is to the bottom of where your penis dangles, essentially. So the crotch area of the suit turns into a sail so the ski jumpers can fly further. Now, apparently this can make an enormous amount of difference. If you have an extra 2 centimeters of fabric, you can go about 5 meters further. And in a sport where the difference between winning and losing can be as much as 50 centimetres, that can be a big deal. This is a thing that WADA were asked about, and they said that they were going to look into it.
Before we let you go, Australia's best ever Winter Olympic medal haul is 4 medals. And given everything and all the athletes that we've just talked about, and I feel like we haven't even covered all the medal chances for Australia here at these Games, is anything less than that going to be underperforming?
It's a really interesting question, because so much can happen in winter sports. There's so many variables. For example, we had the women's downhill practice cancelled, ironically, because there's too much snow today. And that just tells you all about, you'd never know what you're going to get on the day. But all things being well, we have got a team here that can do exceptional things. I did a little totting up myself, and I think very realistic to expect double. So I think 8 medals would be certainly achievable. More than that, getting into double figures, not beyond the realms of possibility. This is a squad and a team that has managed to win 26 medals World Cup level this year across 7 different disciplines. 11 different Aussies have done it. You've got 2 X Games medalists as well in amongst that. 3 Australians are leading the World Cup standings at the moment. You get a little bit of luck from somewhere as well, and you can get a medalist out of nothing. I'm Brendan Corey in the short track speed skating, talking about luck in winter sports. We all know about that. I'm Stephen Bradbury, cough, cough. But look, it's I think this is there's an opportunity here for this Australian team to do something really, really special. Alyssa Campbell-Warner has been saying that over the course of the lead up into this Games. A lot of the athletes are very confident as well about doing something special here. And I'll be honest with you, Poppy, I cannot wait to see the Aussies in action out there. And all things being well, that's exactly what the rest of the world's going to think.
Simon Smale, double is an absolutely huge call, but I hope we at the end of the Olympics are checking back in and saying that you were right. Thank you so much for your time, and we will be speaking to you a lot over the next couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it, Poppy.
Headlines. Competition is already underway in some disciplines like the curling and the preliminary rounds of the women's ice hockey. But the big news from an Australian front is that Valentino Gasselli has qualified for the men's big air final with an incredible final jump to claim the 12th spot on Sunday morning Australian time. Even more amazing is that he only got his spot in the field 3 hours before the event, thanks to an injury to Canadian snowboarder Mark McMorris, who was involved in what they're calling a freak accident in training. Thankfully for McMorris, he should make a full recovery to take his place in the slopestyle later in the week. American downhill skier Lindsey Vonn will have to wait to test out her ACL deficient knee because training was cancelled due to, checks notes, too much snow. Vonn ruptured her ACL at last week's World Cup event in France, but is determined to compete at her 5th Olympic Games. And the opening ceremony will take place on Saturday morning Australian time. And for the first time, there will be 2 cauldrons, one in Milan and the other in Cortina. For Australian flag bearers Jacara Anthony and Matt Graham, they will be at a ceremony in Livigno as they prepare for their competition. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Ed Gooden. Thanks to the FIS and the X Games for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.